Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening in on the NOLA Drinks Show. This week, as always, friends, hey, you know something? We talk about this from time to time here on the show. We're a show that explores the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond, as you know. But hey, I like to talk about different things. And I know we got some friends up there listening to the show, friends and listeners there in the Philadelphia area. So let me pre-apologize. Man, we whooped your butt on Sunday. Man, the Saints, they look good. I'm not going to go too far down that road of saying, you know, best team in the NFL right now. Things, I don't want to jinx anything. Still got a good chunk of season to play here. And still got to try and make that deep run in the playoffs. But Atlanta lost, Carolina lost, Buccaneers, who really cares? Sorry to my friends over there in Tampa. But man, they looked really good. That was just a shellacking of the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, there you go. We got a good show coming up for you here today, friends, on the program. We are going to be over at Cane and Table, one of my favorite spots there, the 1100 block of Decatur. And we're going to be chatting with Neil Bodenheimer and Caroline Rosen of Tales of the Cocktail. Now, both Neil and Caroline have been on with me before, but never have I had those two together. And they make up two-thirds, we'll say. And as we do say, they're coming up in a few minutes, of the leadership team of Tales of the Cocktail. Neil is the co-chair of the board, along with Gary Solomon Jr. And Caroline is the executive director of the organization. Great to have, great guests and always a lot of fun, good friends of mine. But also we talk, you know, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Tales of the Cocktail and all kinds of cool stuff that they're doing. And if you're not familiar, it is the largest bartender and spirits convention in the world. The main event is, and it happens in the third week-ish or so. Actually, I think Caroline makes the announcement of what the date is coming up here in New Orleans. But they also do all kinds of other cool stuff. They do Tales on Tour when they take the show on the road, and they're doing this in Puerto Rico here in the spring coming up in 2019. Obviously, a very important choice, very important social choice, right? They're trying to bring some love to that community after the wake of Hurricane Maria and so on. And it's a great scene there in San Juan and around Puerto Rico. So I think it's just a fantastic choice they've made to take Tales on Tour there. So we talk about that a bit, and we talk about all kinds of other things and some interesting stuff about sort of as they move forward here. They are the new leadership team that took over really at the beginning of the year this year. And we talk about just kind of what's going on, what to expect, what to look for, little bits of news and things like that, and just a lot of fun conversation. So I hope you enjoy that and get something from it. I know I did. We taped this the other day at Cane and Table, as I mentioned. Also wanted to mention shows coming up next week here. We are going to chat with Paul Hletko. Paul is the founder of Few Spirits, a very fine distillery up there in Chicago. Technically, they're in Evanston, but that's all Cook County. And we actually just put that one in the can, if you will. We taped with Paul just the other day, and a very fine distillery up there, and we talk about their program, what they do. Paul's a very interesting guy, has a background as a professional musician, funny guy, and we have a good conversation talking about what they do, taste some of their spirits. A really fine brand, Few Spirits. If you get a chance to check it out, you will find them on back bars and in finer retailers, as they say, really pretty much everywhere these days. I had Paul on about a year and a half ago during Tales of the Cocktail in 2017. And, you know, they were getting there. They've been around for several years and had been at that time already as well. But now they're in their seventh year of actual sales and in their 10th year overall in existence. And, they're just growing by leaps and bounds, but they make some really, really good stuff. So fun conversation there coming up with Paul. Then we're going to be over at the Hilton talking about the Revion dinners and the Revion tradition. I've mentioned that before as well. That'll be a show the week after, so a couple weeks from now. That'll be that show. And then we've got more stuff coming up, including, I'll make this announcement, I know I've talked about it before, our French Quarter Festival series is going to be kicking off, something that I am very, very, very excited about. We are partnering up with our good friends at French Quarter Festivals Incorporated. Of course, French Quarter Festival is, in my view, the finest, music festival on the planet. If you're listening from outside the area, it is a time to come to New Orleans. It is in April every year. Typically, the weather's really nice. And what they do is it's a free festival. You have to buy food and drink, which you should do, because all kinds of great restaurants are out there and all kinds of great programs with beverages and stuff going on. And we basically shut the French Quarter down, or good chunks of it down, have 20-something stages going on throughout the French Quarter and along the Mississippi River. And it's all local music, regional music from this part of the world. It is fantastic, friends. It is a great festival. And what we're going to be doing is we're partnering up with our good friends at French Quarter Festivals. And we're going to do this series where we are going to also partner up with our good friends at Louisiana Music Factory. They're on Frenchman Street, the finest record store in the world. See, so I got the finest music festival in the world and the finest record store in the world partnering up with this little show. And we're going to interview musicians, and we're going to do this at Louisiana Music Factory in the store. So you'll have the opportunity if you want to come and be a part of the taping. And we'll have some more details on the first one coming up here pretty quick. And we'll talk about, with these different local musicians, we'll talk about their music, of course, but we will also talk about food and drink, and we'll talk about the festival and things like that. And this will be something that we do periodically throughout the year with our French Quarter Festival series. So really pleased and honored and proud to partner up with French Quarter Festivals Incorporated, as well as Barry and the gang over there at Louisiana Music Factory. So be on the lookout for that. We'll have that stuff rolling out pretty soon. And as I said, you know, April, if you're from outside the area, make your plans now. It is a great, great festival. And hopefully this will build some excitement for you. You'll be able to hear some musicians, all kinds of different old ones, or older guys and gals, younger guys and gals, different bands, different things like that. So it's going to be a very interesting interview series we have coming up. Lastly here, friends, before we take a break and then get over there to Cane and Table to talk to Neil and Caroline of Tales of the Cocktail, just want to give a special shout out to my lovely wife, Sylvia, who helps me out so much with this show and in life in general. She and I just celebrated our wedding anniversary this past Friday. Made it out to town and had a great time out. Special thanks to our friends at Sylvain there for taking care of us. But thanks to my lovely wife for being such a great partner and my best friend in the world. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. We're going to be back talking about Tales of the Cocktail. Come on back.
I'm going to take you out.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show this week, friends, as always. And if you were listening at the top of the show, and I hope you were, we are here at Cane and Table, and I am pleased to be joined by my friends Caroline Rosen and Neil Bodenheimer, two-thirds of the leadership team, I guess we'll say, for Tales of the Cocktail. We should actually have a picture of Gary here in a frame.
Yeah, we can just, it's radio, so we can just act like he's, like we have a cutout.
Yeah, exactly. We all have our arm around Gary right now, and Gary Solomon Jr. we're talking about. But thanks for making time, y'all, coming today. I really appreciate it. We had a lot of moving parts to get this all to work in everybody's schedule. I'm not that busy, but you guys are really busy, Caroline.
You know, it's exciting to be this busy, especially this time of year. It's really funny. A lot of people have been like, hey, is it calming down? And we're like, absolutely not. we're working double as hard right now. So thank you for being so generous with your time and allowing us to get all of our schedules aligned.
Yay, my pleasure. My pleasure. Actually, to that point, too, I remember, Neil, I think it was an email or something that you sent out, and it was right on the heels of Tales of the Cocktail itself, the big event here in New Orleans being done, and you were putting, it was the call for something else already coming out, and I'm like, man, I feel bad for you guys.
Well,
like, no rest for the wicked.
I will say that I had this like fantasy that like after Tales that everything would just come grinding to a halt, and then it would be life, you know, normal life again, and that just was not the case. In fact, it was quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite. So how, after, this was your first iteration, running Tales of the Cocktail organization wide, and then the main event. Now that the dust has settled from the main event, how do we feel? How do you feel, man?
I feel pretty good. I can't speak for Caroline, but
I'll ask her the same question in a second.
But, you know, I think this was, it really very easily could have gone out of business. And to see everybody enjoying themselves in New Orleans this year, I thought that was, I was really uplifting, and I think that the energy around Tales was great this year, and I think that with the feedback we've gotten has been really good, and you know, all in all, in what was a challenging year, we felt like it went pretty darn well. I mean, that's, you know,
yeah, absolutely,
as well as we could have hoped.
Absolutely. You know, Caroline, I think, and I want to get your take on this. I think I said this both to you in a note after it was over. In echoing just what Neil said, I found that there was a very positive vibe. I found that people, the reception was excellent. People were excited to be there. Yeah. There was kind of a new energy there. Yeah. And even folks that were not able to make the commitment to attend this past year because of, you know, just the lateness of making travel plans and things like that and getting on board were like, we're on board for next year. Are you getting that sense?
Absolutely. We, you know, I think that there was a question going into it, and we knew that we as an organization really had to come out with our best foot forward. And I think by kicking off with the grants process and that really toasting, that really touching speech by Jeffrey Goldring, and it was just really lovely. And it kind of set the tone for the week. And it went from a lot of anxious nervousness to everyone was together, and you could feel this hospitality. And granted, it was still in 200 degree heat, but it brought us all together. And and it was good. It was really good.
Did you guys get a what were some of the final numbers as far as attendees go and stuff like that?
Yeah, so this year, you know, we on purpose made our footprint a little bit smaller. We did it in one hotel. So we were at about 75% of what years in the past have been, but it was an opportunity for people to have conversations. Yeah. And that's what we kept hearing time and time again, was we were able to connect on a level. And so now, you know, our job is, how do we create that community and that hospitality as we ramp back up and grow? Because like you said, we're getting phone calls from all over the world saying, okay, can we confirm the dates for next year? Which it is the week of July 16th, if you're curious.
Okay, very good.
I will go ahead and let that date be known.
Right on.
So, you know, I think that that's where we're coming in, is we have the community that's excited to be back, and we just want to make sure that we lead with that hospitality, and like I said, that we continue to create a safe space where people can meet and greet and enjoy all the things that they do during Tales.
You know, I'll say this, Caroline, and thank you for saying that, and those are far more important things than what I'm about to say, but I will tell you that every time I walked into a particular tasting room, I'm still a little conditioned. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go into the independent spirits that rock, and it's going to be a sea of people, and I'm going to have to, you know, and I'm like, oh, I could actually speak to people, and it was really fun, and it was all very comfortable, and I know, you know, you want that footprint to get bigger, but right. That was one of my favorite parts about it, was that ability, like you said, to actually communicate with people and don't feel rushed and actually get a chance to chat.
And look, that's, you know, admittedly, that's going to be a challenge for us.
Sure. Yeah.
We know that in order for us to give away the amount of money that we want to make a difference, we have to have the revenue, and the revenue means more people.
Right.
But the thing that that it's our job, and Caroline touched on this before, is to make sure that we don't lose that hospitality as we grow, and that the conversations that people have. I mean, there's one thing to have community digitally on Facebook, and there's another thing to have that one-on-one, face-to-face interaction. And if we do that right, then we think we're going to be really successful.
Right. Now, what were some, beyond what we've talked about here, maybe Neil, give us, what was one of your favorite takeaways or things that happened at Tales this past year? Maybe something that you didn't expect, or something that you did that just went the way you wanted it to go.
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I would tell you that, you know, it's my nature. I was once told I have a negative imagination,
I feel like I'm learning so much about you, Neil. Really?
The dark side of Neil.
And so it's you know, I would say up until the kickoff, you know, I was thought it wasn't going to go well, and I think that right after the kickoff and right after the first block of programming, I was walking around and I said, I think we're going to pull this off. And so I think it was in that moment that it was a really refreshing, and not even refreshing. I was just there was a lot of relief, because, you know, you always wonder, you know, everybody has their doubts about whether they can do things. And it was just inspiring to see the team come together and really execute well.
Yeah. That's an important part, Caroline. Why don't you speak to that? Because you are running the day-to-day as the executive director right. of the organization. You've got a great team in place, don't you? That really, you guys kick butt this
year.
We
have such a fantastic team. And, you know, I think it goes back to having that leadership from the board as well, that this is not something that one human being can do. This is a massive undertaking, and it's such important work for us as New Orleanians and also to the national and international global community that it's a badge of honor to be able to create and help facilitate something of this magnitude. So I was super proud of our team, but I have a couple of favorites if you want to ask me to.
Please. Okay. Absolutely.
So I would like to say that one of my favorite moments was the Dame Hall of Fame. So this has been something that's been around with Tails for the last 7 years, and we really brought it back to its glory. It was hosted at Brennan's for a Friday lunch, and we honored four fantastic women, and we had chefs Kristen Essig and Kelly Fields come and cook for us. And just to have everyone that isn't a New Orleanian to experience, like, this is what it's about. That's the hospitality and having a drink and celebrating these wonderful women. That was a great one.
Was that the Friday before Tails, or was that the Friday,
Friday of Tails?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so next year we need to put that in a, like, now the other nice thing about having been through a Tails is I feel like I can help direct people in certain directions. There's so much happening that this year we're working on that. And, you know, the other thing that I really, that, like, exceeded my expectations was the Spirited Awards.
Agreed.
That was a lot of fun.
And it was just like this, I mean, to see everyone in this really beautiful, I mean, the historic Orpheum Theater is one of my favorite places in New Orleans, and to see this international group of people celebrating and the drinks and the food and this, that was like the thing that really, I knew it was going to be fantastic, but to see it in person, it was like I had that chill bumps moment like four or five times throughout the night, and I was like, it's happening.
That was great. You guys did a really, really good job with that. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of warm moments. And a lot of really rewarding moments as well.
And then just kicking off Beyond the Bar. I mean, this is something that we as a group and as a foundation knew that it was important. And it was one of those things that we were like, we want to do free education around, you know, all these different areas that we need to be more aware as individuals and as a community. And to see that really, you know, we had people coming up to us through the week that were like, thank you. I've been sober for 15 years and I've been scared to tell people in our industry I've never had a place at Tails. And so I just see the, like, for that to be a success and to see that, you know, do what it did with just such a small time frame, I'm really excited about seeing that grow too.
That's great. And that commitment to community. Do you want to add something to that, Neil?
Well, no, I mean, just, you know, Beyond the Bar was something that there was so much time and effort put into it. And then it's going to take time. We know it's going to be a year after year commitment, but to see it start to kind of create a spark in people, I thought that was really rewarding as well, Caroline.
Do you think too, Neil, following on that point, because we hear more messaging, so I think a lot of people that we know, friends of ours just even in town that work in the industry, brand ambassadors, bartenders, and folks are doing programming on their own to encourage personal well-being, balance of life considerations, things like that in the industry. And then I think you're hearing things coming from brands themselves that are looking to promote that. So it seems to be a bit of an upswell.
Well, it is. And look, brands have some have corporate responsibility that they have to mind. But it's also they're realizing that from an on-premise perspective, that it's that wellness and equity, that they're important hot button issues in the industry. And so as skilled marketers, they're gonna go after that.
Yeah.
And
right.
And I think that is someone in the bar and restaurant business, that it's something that we see that our teams are interested in every day and we're interested in. And so it's something that as this business gets more professional, that we have to start turning over these rocks and figuring out what's under them.
Right.
And discussing them.
We know a healthy, happy employee in any industry is just a better way to go, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, do you want to add something, Caroline?
No, I mean, no? I could chat all day, but I was just nodding my head.
What Neil said.
Exactly. Yes.
You go, Neil. So you guys, let's do this. Let's take a little break on the show. And we're kind of talking about our theme as a little bit of community involvement here overall. And you guys made a really cool major announcement about where Tails on Tour is going to be coming up. It's not a secret, but we're going to get to there in a second, talk about the importance of why you chose that location and what to expect with that in the spring. So friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
Scraping
down Grand Highway. Goodbye, Joe. I got to go.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO, in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be, and in IGTV land. Yeah, because we're actually filming this, so we get to see these two really good-looking people, Neil and Caroline from Tales of the Cocktail, and then you get to look at me right in the middle. I'm sorry about all that. But we were talking about, before we took the break from the last segment, community involvement and really important stuff. And one of the things that you all do every year is Tales goes on the road. It's called Tales on Tour. And this year it's going to be where, Caroline?
In Puerto Rico.
Oh, hooray. Yes. Awesome. And that's really exciting. I think it was in Edinburgh the past 2 years, correct?
That's correct.
And, but the selection of Puerto Rico, I'm guessing, you don't want to put words in your mouth, but very important.
Very important. And I think that as New Orleanians and as seeing, I think this is what I love when Neil talks about this, actually. So I'm going to let Neil kick this one off, okay, because he always frames it in the best way possible.
He's been ideating on this one, so go ahead.
That's a lot of pressure, Caroline. Look, I think if you were in New Orleans or a New Orleanian post-storm, you understand the benefit of having people come and the support. And it was, you know, I think about even the first Tales after Katrina and the amount of people that came down, and I'm still grateful for how many people came down and spent their money in New Orleans when we needed it most. And I think we saw an opportunity to really pay that forward. We understand that, you know, we can't as a foundation raise enough money to even make the smallest, tiniest dent in what Puerto Rico and San Juan needs. But what we can do is we can show them that we can show the world that they're open for business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we can bring dollars down there and show people how great a place it is, like so many people did for us in New Orleans. And I think if we can do that, then it'll be a big success.
And there's so many similarities. I mean, well, first of all, I remember when we were flying in, we're a pretty chatty crew. And so we were chatting left and right, and then all of a sudden one of us said, like, look out over the window, and we did, and we saw all the blue tarps, and, you know, we landed and we started telling the stories, much like you heard after Katrina. And then we ended up in Old San Juan, and we went to one of the most fantastic bars I've ever been to, and that is La Factoria. And we walked around with the proprietors, Roberto and Leslie, and just to see their passion and what they want to do for their city, and their it was contagious. And it was something that, you know, they've made the top four in the Spirited Awards for Best International Bar for this past year. And, you know, they said that not everyone knows that we're back and open. And it was this, like, beautiful scene and food, and you can feel the culture in it, that we just felt a kindred spirit. And as New Orleanians, we were like,
it feels very similar to New Orleans in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And it also, like, the time feels really similar. Like, it felt very familiar to me in what we went through kind of post-Katrina. Mm-hmm. And it felt like deja vu. And mm-hmm. you were watching these guys that were working really hard to try and get their businesses back up and running, get people down. And it just, I don't know, it felt eerily familiar.
Right.
And then they told us, we were talking to one of the people that worked at the hotel where we stayed, and he was telling us a story about how the bags have gotten so heavy in post-hurricane. Mm-hmm. Because so many people don't think that you can get water down there, that they're bringing cases of water with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay. Which is funny because the same thing happened here.
Yep.
Right. Wow. How did the, and either one of you want to answer this, how did the overtures work? Did you guys sit around and go, this is where we think we should go, and then you reached out to them? Is that how this happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that as a group were sitting around, and we've been asking our partners left and right, like, what is the best fit? We want to make sure that we are educating, supporting, advancing in everything that we do. So we were like, what is that community that really needs the spotlight? And we actually had a couple of friends reach out to us and just said, have y'all been to Puerto Rico lately, even if it's not for 2 years, just to have a one-year intensive to really shine a light on what's happened and that they are open for business. Mm-hmm. It would be huge. And so we did a scouting trip down there, and we were just blown away. So, you know, we're still trying to figure out like what our next spot, next move will be, but the overwhelming support of their community, of the international spirits community, has been overwhelming, and we're focused on making sure that it is just a wonderful event that can benefit Puerto Rico.
That's great.
Yeah.
Logistically, is it coming together pretty well? You're working with Discover Puerto Rico, I think, right?
And yeah. So we're doing our best. We were really lucky. We had a really productive few days down there and met some great people, and we talked about what we wanted to do, and they were really excited about it. Mm-hmm. And so we've had it's like when you're doing something right and it feels like the wind is at your back.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the way Puerto Rico feels for us right now, is that we feel like we're doing what we should be doing because we have so many people that are invested in our success down there.
That's great. Should we be? Are there some exciting things that we can look forward to that we can talk about at this point?
I mean, we know that Tails will be hosting an event at La Factoria with many of our partners, and that will be happening on the Monday night. But all the other details are to come. Our home base and our partner hotel is El Convento in Old San Juan. So we will be based in Old San Juan, which is very reminiscent of the French Quarter.
Yeah, for sure.
And just very excited to work with a ton of different partners locally, again, having our international partners come in as well. So it's all coming together. I promise they're going tickets and everything's going to be on sale come mid-December.
Great. What are the dates, Caroline, again?
So the dates are March 10th through 13th.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Book your travel now, right?
Because Book your travel now.
You can
book
count
your,
on that.
Yeah, it's actually really affordable to book your travel right now.
I was actually looking at flights for this purpose not too long ago, and it was pretty good.
I mean, it's, you know, I think that was one of the things that we really liked about it, is that we felt like even though it is domestic and international at the same time, it feels, you know, it feels foreign, but it's a U.S. territory.
You don't need a passport.
Don't need a passport.
Driver's license will work.
That's right.
Maybe not a Louisiana driver's license. That jury's still out.
Exactly. No, actually, yeah. So they, it's going to be a great time down there. I mean, it's a great time of year in the spring, and it's also if you're here, it's generally, I think it's the week after Mardi Gras.
It is.
So, oh, right. Okay.
If you want a little R&R, it's a great time to go rest your liver or not.
I'm going to save you or not. It's a, wow.
I just liked having the beaches there and Old San Juan. The food is fantastic.
The food is great.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And I'm excited to hopefully, at the wrap of it, turn it into a little vacay and sit by the beach with the breeze. I'm very into that.
That sounds like a good
point. And one of the things we haven't talked about is that we're going to do a day of service when we're down there.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay. Awesome.
You know, and I think it's one of those things that I think everybody wants to do their part to help. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure that there was a vehicle for that while we're down there. And look, the best thing you can do if you want to help Puerto Rico is buy a ticket, get a hotel room, go down there,
spend some money. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, look, even if it's, you know, we would love for you to do it for Tales on Tour, but even if it's not, you know, it's a great way to help.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you guys are partnering up with identifying some local NGOs and things like that to work with down there. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And we got about a minute left, you guys, before we close this segment out. Brand response, it sounds like, has been really good with Tales on Tour.
Absolutely.
Very good.
It's very been
good.
Exciting.
And there are two really important brands that have outposts there. So you've got Sorayas, and then you've got Bacardi.
Bacardi, yep.
Yeah.
And they're fully on board with the program?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
they
great.
Are.
That's great. Fantastic. Well, you guys, let's do this. We're going to take a little bit of a break here.
Okay.
And we're going to come back. We're going to talk more exciting news with Tales of the Cocktail. We're going to talk about Tales of the Toddy. And we're going to talk about Daiquiri season coming up next year. We'll talk a little bit more about community involvement and some other cool stuff like that. You guys
got
to stick around a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
All right, I think we can do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thanks to our friends here at Canaan Table also for hosting us here today. Come check them out right here on Decatur Street, 1100 block, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
1123, is that right?
1113.
I was close. I was one
that
number.
Was really, that was pretty good, though.
Thank you. Thank you. I never hang out here. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show and on IGTV. Come on back.
It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn.
Well, my bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with the bucket in my hand. I'm just looking for a woman that ain't got no man. My bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO. That's it, that radio station, the one that I'm on, been on for a couple of years. 990 AM New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Pleased to be joined by my friends Caroline Rosen and Neil Bodenheimer of Tales of the Cocktail. Thanks, you guys, for being here again. Thanks to Cane and Table, which you are part owner of, Neil.
Yes,
so
correct.
Thanks for having us here today.
My business partner, Kirk, is running around here busily.
I saw him looking wistfully out the front window because the place is about to open for business, thinking with those warm, welcoming eyes, come, it's happy hour. But you guys were talking a little bit about community involvement and some things. Now, one of the things that we teed up briefly at the end of the previous segment were a couple things to look forward to coming up. We did mention Tales of the Toddy. We'll get to that in a second because you guys are doing cool stuff with that. But also, we mentioned the idea of daiquiri season.
Yes.
And daiquiri season, some, Caroline, that you guys are looking to sort of reevaluate, but we're going to see it again next year.
Yes, we're going to see it again next year at some point in time. It's, like we said, this wonderful thing that is the Tales Foundation is a, what do you call it, like a cruise ship, a liner? Like, it takes us a while to sometimes move things around, but no, we're really excited to bring it back. Didn't quite fit in this year, but we are planning on it next year. So listeners, something that you can look forward to is more information around that.
That's great. And yeah. I think each of these things, and just for listeners out there to know that, you know, everybody knows Tales, I should say a lot of people know Tales of the Cocktail, the main event that happens in New Orleans, and we've talked about Tales on Tour, and we're going to talk about Tales of the Toddy in a second. But you guys do a lot of things throughout the year, and as you guys have taken over these things, you're reevaluating these things and trying to make them better or try and make them resonate more, right? And
yeah.
These things are works in progress. You can't expect everything just to flip a switch and then they go.
Thank you. Yeah, we definitely we're trying to be very thoughtful. We're trying to make sure that it's the best for our the people that are engaging with us throughout the year, and that takes a lot of thought and a lot of time. It's definitely worth it, and I think that kind of leads us into how we're changing Tales of the Toddy.
Yeah.
So in the past, Tales of the Toddy was a consumer facing event, and as you go back to what the foundation does, we're here to educate, advance, and support those in the hospitality and spirits community. We really wanted to take Toddy as an opportunity to celebrate our local bar community and our local spirits community. So we're really excited this year to have that be an event for them. Having our brand partners actually serve them, because it was funny. A couple of the bartenders I reached out to, they're like, great, haven't been asked to work it. And I'm like, because you're not.
Yeah, you're not.
We want you to
it.
Come and enjoy it. And so I think that's, again, that took us looking at the programming and making sure that it was the most beneficial to fit what the foundation does and what the community needs. And so this year I'm excited. I hope that community likes it. Are you going to be there for Toddy?
I'm going to be there for Toddy. I've been told to save the date.
Save the date.
And there's an interesting twist. And we'll come back. I want to talk a little bit more about the focus, but an interesting twist, because I was told the venue was going to be announced. I thought you guys were just still working out where it was going to be and hadn't figured it out yet. And then, but that's going to be part of the surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yes.
So
twist.
Yes. So I guess we're going to leave that there because it's a secret, right?
That's
I don't want
right.
to go any further
that's
down
right.
that road. All right, we're going to move on. I'm getting this look like, this is too bad we don't have this on IGTV, because I'm going to stop asking questions about where Tales of the Toddy is.
No, it's fun. We want people to RSVP to be involved with it. And the day before, we're actually going to release the address. But it's something that we're excited about. And again, it's a great afternoon getting together, celebrating the holidays, and really giving back to those people that serve us all year long, and especially during Tales. We're trying to get our friends in Puerto Rico to understand the volume of people that are about to come to them. And we've had local bartenders that are so kind reach out and be like, if I need to go down there and help too, let me know.
Awesome.
So we're excited to give back.
Well, look, there, you know, I think that there's also a lot of pressure that comes from being the host community. In the Week of Tales, it's in a lot of ways, it's about a lot of other people coming into your city, and you're a backdrop and you're hosts. And that it's a hard week if you work in this business. And so, you know, I see Toddy as a way for us to really say thank you.
You know, let me ask you this too. And I think commenting on what you just said, Neil, one of the great ironies of Tales of the Cocktail, I think a lot of people don't understand, is if you're here and you work in the service industry, you don't go to Tales of the Cocktail, no. Right? Because I mean, maybe a little bit,
yeah.
Right? I know I'm overstating
here and there.
Here and there, you maybe get a seminar, a little tasting room, but it's a great opportunity, as we know. And this is probably a topic for a show down the road again. You know, you're going to make some money in the middle of summer here in New Orleans, yeah. Which is a hard thing to do. And that's why you want to work.
It's a significant part of Tales. And, you know, I think that was, you know, there are two things that make Tales work. Number one, the fact that it's in July is not the most pleasant for everybody, but it's a time where the city really needs the revenue from in the hospitality business. And it's also a time when our hospitality workers need the revenue. And so it makes a lot of sense. It's also really affordable to get here and to stay here. So it makes it better for our attendees. Now, I'm sorry for the weather, but that's the
you can't have
that's
it all.
The trade-off.
You can't. That's what pool parties are for during Tales of the Cocktail.
Correct.
That's right.
Well, so with Tales of the Toddy, then Neil, let's continue on that, because then we're kind of, if people don't know, as Caroline said, it was a consumer-facing event. People would come, Toddy, the hot traditional beverage, right, and taste that. And it was kind of a competition, right, where bartenders would make their spin on the Toddy. But as you said, we're flipping this around to honor and celebrate those in the hospitality industry and give them some time to be on the other side of the cocktail table.
Yes. And I think that that's, you know, there's so much time and effort in July to market to bartenders. But you know, as we said earlier, it's a lot of the marketing and the care is done for people that come to visit the city. And so we see this as an opportunity for our brand partners to really get in front of New Orleans bartenders and show them how much we appreciate them.
Now, can we divulge any of how the structure is going to work? I know we're not talking location, but actually how the event is going to go down.
Yeah.
You know, like as far how
I mean,
are we doing this?
We're gonna. It's from 2 to 5, so a late afternoon Sunday get together. A lot of great cocktails, great music, great food, and it's really just going to be a celebration and a chance for everyone. Again, I don't think it's often that we're able to really get together 150, 200 of the best of our hospitality industry and really celebrate them. So it'll look wonderful, and it'll just be a celebration, a great time to have a cocktail and hopefully enjoy some nice, not
holiday
hot
party,
weather.
If you will.
Yeah, a holiday party. And I really want to thank you, because my initial thought when Gia, who does the PR for you guys, sent me an invitation, and I'm thinking, Sunday, what hours are these going to be? And then it was 2 to 5, and then I'm thinking, you can't really be doing this from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., right? It was like 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. It actually fits in my old person lifestyle really well. Cocktails in the afternoon on a Sunday, it's great. And I
luckily,
can
there's
by
some other old people involved in the decision-making process.
Well, you guys, let's do this. We got a couple minutes left here. You guys are going to stick around for another shot with NOLA Drinks, and I think what we're going to talk about there, we're going to talk about the grants program, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. But very quickly, Caroline, so grant program first year this year, and getting ready to ramp up for second year.
For second year, so $250,000 we were able to give away this year to 11 different groups in our first grants cohort. Right now, we're tracking what they're doing and getting really excited and really ramping up for our next round of grantees, which is, how is it already November?
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it? It's insane. So letters of intent go January, right?
Yep.
And all that. Well, cool. We're gonna get more into the grants program and talk about that a little bit. Let's do this. Let's tell people. You know, actually, tell people where Cane and Table is. I said the address before, but how do they find Cane and Table on the street and
it's
online?
It's actually easier than you think.
Okay.
So we're on Decatur, in between Governor Nichols and Ursuline Street, and we're on the Rampart side of the street. And we're kind of tucked. We're right in between Trinity and Coops.
And Coops.
You can find us right behind Coops' line.
Mm-hmm. That's when you see the line on Decatur, you know it's right next door.
and yeah, so we're and we, you know, we're open from 3 p.m. until midnight daily, and then we also do brunch on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. So great food here, and it's a great bar, great program. So definitely come check it out. You can go back. We did a show here with Kirk not too long ago. So go back on the website and just search for Canaan Table. You'll find that wonderful interview.
Our greatest secret is Chef Alfredo Nogueira.
Right there you go. Right on.
He's cool. The man.
Right on. Shout out to Alfredo. How you doing, man? And Caroline, do me a favor. We got about 15 seconds left. Tales of the Cocktail online, and where do we find all that info?
Talesofthecocktail.org. You can also follow us on Instagram or Facebook.
Perfect. You guys, thanks for being here. We're going to close out the radio portion. You're going to stick around. Friends, remember, be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until then, cheers, y'all. Everybody, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Nola Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you as always. Thanks for hanging out with us here on our podcast. Only extended bit of our conversation. We're going to continue chatting with Neil and Caroline from Tales of the Cocktail over there at Canaan Table. Thanks again to them for hosting us. Hope you're enjoying the chat. And after we're done, I'll be back with my parting shot talking a little bit about Puerto Rico. Here we go. All right, everybody. Yep, we're here. Another shot with Nola Drinks. We're sitting at Cane and Table in the French Quarter, chatting with Caroline and Neil from Tales of the Cocktail, as you know. And we're some things that we want to talk about here in the Another Shot with Nola Drinks portion. We touched on this when we closed out the radio portion before. Grant program. So we're coming into year two, which is exciting. You guys gave away a quarter mil, which is a good chunk of change. It's passed time to 11 recipients. Now the program is opening back up in January for applicants to put in. What should we be looking for there?
Their letters of intent. Okay. So we will have, obviously, an email blast, a social media push, but would ask for all of our listeners or your listeners that are tuned in today, if they have those great ideas or letters of intent, that those will open up in January. Our grants committee did a fantastic job this year finding 11 groups that I really think are going to be able to make an impact on our community. So looking forward to seeing, you know, now that we have more than a month to pull off some of these things, what could come in, because you know, we're having these conversations throughout the year, and our grants committee are members of this wonderful community that are open to having conversations again throughout the year with passionate people, and if they need help for something that they're doing. So
that's exciting.
Be on the lookout.
Cool. Well, yeah. Let's back up. Let's talk about this year's grant cycle that we're currently on. Mm-hmm. And I know we talked about this. We did one of the shows with you guys, and Gary's talked about it and such. Kind of some ideas of, areas of priority for funding. I know some personal work-life balance, some issues in sustainability, mm-hmm. a couple other topics.
In general, it has to fit under our three pillars: to educate, to advance, and to support. And then it falls to our grant committee to decide where the best use of dollars are. Now, you know, we had some people come through with asks for the entire amount, mm-hmm. but the grant committee wasn't really excited about giving one big chunk of change away.
Right.
They wanted the money to go as far as it could. You know, I think there are a few that you know stick out in my mind, and there were a bunch, but I really liked the Penn Project a lot, which was a really small ask. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say how much they asked for, but it was a teeny weeny ask, and it was about creating pens that tell people when you're not drinking.
Yep.
So that if you're a bartender and you're wearing the pen, and someone would tell someone that, hey, you know, I don't want to do a shot with you.
Right.
Or if you go out to another bar, it says, no, I don't want a free drink. No, I don't want this. I'm not drinking tonight.
Yep.
And it's that nonverbal communication that can be really important.
That was a great program. That was actually one of my favorite ones that y'all funded mm-hmm. too. What are you seeing, and I'll throw either one you want to answer this one. One of the questions that I asked you before was utilizing this process, because it was your first time going through, and this is my mm-hmm. old inner nonprofit person speaking, having done a lot of grant work and stuff in the past, using the opportunity to find people that had a good idea. But what's so important in this process is that people actually have to have the capacity to execute, even though the idea is great. If there's a thought that you can't pull it off, that can be a problem. But yeah. we want to encourage these people maybe to come back, right, in January and
yeah.
reapply?
And that's something that, you know, I have to pat our team. I have to give them a little props, because every single person that applied for a letter of intent or made it to the full grant application round was offered a chance to talk with our team and get feedback for next year.
Awesome.
And that's the only way that we can grow, is by giving that feedback and continuing that dialogue. I think that a lot of these grants, a lot of people that put in letters of intent, like if they just had a little bit more time or a little bit more, you know, here and there, and they were able to get that feedback from us. And most places that give out grants don't do that.
Right.
But like you said, it's so important for us to be able to help continue people. We want them to continue to do the good work, and I wish we had all the money in the world to give away. But definitely, if you applied last year, or if you're thinking about applying, please reach out to us, because we have those. We have individuals that would love to talk with you, and we want to give you that feedback so you can continue your journey.
That's great.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this question too. So I think maybe we talked about this a little bit before. I'm also a big fan of the idea, and not telling y'all how to run your grant program, okay? But, but you know, like, you know, having done some funding myself, when you actually look and it's like, oh, I got so-and-so over here who put in for this, and I got so-and-so over here who put in for this, and a similar idea, and creating opportunities for people to maybe team up and actually build that executional capacity.
Yep.
I think I made up a word, executional capacity.
I like it.
To actually pull the program off. Am I ideating over here?
Yes. Well, and look, sometimes we did see people that were doing similar things, and mm-hmm. and we have tried to put people together, and you know, we see this as a process. It's not just about cutting checks. It's about helping people. Look, frankly, there were some grants that didn't need money, they needed help.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just technical capacity and things like that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's important too.
And so I think continuing to grow that is our goal. You know, like if people are all looking for the same answers, how can we group them together or help them with those resources? So we're working on it.
Got it.
We're working on it.
Well, work in progress.
Work in progress. Hey, always. Right. I mean, because like, and actually, as you said, you know, this is a process, and it's a process for you guys as well, mm-hmm. not just the recipients. It's an opportunity for, and actually I had asked you guys this question before too, that, you know, using this opportunity, because people are going to put in ideas, I'm guessing, that are going to teach you things and go, man, I hadn't even thought about something like that needs funding, and to actually turn around and learn from them.
Oh yeah.
Have you?
I mean, look, our learning curve has been steep, to say the least, and that's not just in the grants process; that's all around.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're committed to doing everything we do better, and so we understand that this is not just a 1-year process. This is going to be a multi-year process, and
we're going to keep
at it. And if you see something that we're not doing well, we want to know about it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to move on to another topic here in a second, but are you guys kind of identifying some key topic areas that you're kind of emphasizing? You're kind of letting that come to you and let the applicants dictate that stuff?
You know, we were told a long time ago, when we first started doing our due diligence on Tails, is that follow the bartenders. And so that is our that really is one of one of our major principles, one of our core principles, is that if we follow the bartenders and what they want, then we can be successful. And so that's our job, is to put our ear to the floor, our ear to the ground, and to listen
to the constituency. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, Neil, one of the things that we wanted to cover here too that you mentioned is that applications for people who want to put on seminars at Tales of the Cocktail. We're talking about the one in July here, correct?
Yes,
in New
correct.
Orleans.
And also in Puerto Rico when they open them.
Okay, yeah. Got it. So that process is now open. These things take some lead time.
They do.
Yeah.
So, and I would encourage anybody who's listening that has ever thought about doing a seminar at Tales to put one together and to apply. I mean, you can't, we were talking about this earlier and laughing about this, you can't win the game if you don't walk on the field.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's something that doesn't get through, keep on trying. And if you have a desire to speak, or you have something that you want to speak on, then you gotta make an application.
Mm-hmm.
And just give it a try. I think you'll be surprised.
And pitch the idea.
Yeah.
How does it work when say I come in with an idea for a seminar, you guys go, great, I think it sounds really good. Then how does it go from there? You guys provide support and resource and so on to pull it off?
Right. So there's a whole application process online, okay. And we have a director of education and educational committees, and they really sit down and dive deep to see, is it a beyond the bar type program? Is it a culture of the cocktail? Is it more focused on the business? Because each of those play an important role in the overall education of a bartender. But there's a process online that you can follow through, and then that's put into a group, and then our committees and our director of education come together and try to fit the puzzle pieces.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. That does. And then you guys are going to give them support to actually pull the seminar off, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
From the capacity to do it too, like you need a PowerPoint projector.
Look, it is. It's Philip likes PowerPoints. So if you're putting through a seminar that doesn't have a PowerPoint,
you're going to have one.
I would discourage you.
To have a PowerPoint, just don't read every word off every slide.
Exactly. Correct.
Please don't do that, and don't turn your back to the audience and read every word off every slide.
It's supposed to be supplemental.
Yeah.
That's it.
And
exactly.
Philip does a great job of coaching everyone through that process. So, there are a lot of people that have presented many times, but there's also a great number of people that it's their first year presenting. And we definitely have the resources to help you talk through it and to know what the size of your audience will be. And do you need a cocktail? And that's where we have our lovely cocktail apprentice program come in to help make sure that they're getting the best cocktails out there during the seminars. So there are a lot of different
and if you've got if you have a difficult, I mean, you're talking about the caps are highly skilled, and if you have a cocktail that has a high degree of difficulty, you're not sure if it's going to scale. Well, they're going to figure out how to scale it.
How to scale it for you. Tell people what caps are, just so people know.
It's the Cocktail Apprentice Program.
Yep.
And so it's a multi-year program. So you have some people that have been in it for 10 years, and you have some people that have been in it for 1 year.
Right.
And it's people from all around the world that apply, and only a handful make it through, and they produce the beverage portion of Tales of the Cocktail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When do applications for that open up for?
I don't really know.
You don't know yet?
I'll figure that out.
Chris, if you're listening, send me ESP. I'm like, I can just like see Chris right now telling me it's soon, and I'm so sorry. I don't know.
Oh, no, that's okay. We'll share that information
when
it's out.
Please do. Yeah.
Is there going to be a CAP program in Puerto Rico? Also?
Yes, yep. There will be.
Awesome.
And Chris and the crew and Trevor, our lovely leaders of our Cocktail Apprentice program will be in town in January. Oh, okay. No, they'll be in town in December.
December.
So we'll have to, they're actually going to attend Tales of the Toddy.
Oh.
Look at that!
This has been an effective planning meeting for talesofthecocktail.org. Happy to be a part of the foundation here, friends.
Sorry. We need another cocktail or a coffee. I'm not sure which.
You're right. We can combine those two things.
That's right.
Well, you guys, really quickly again, Tales of the Cocktail, where online? One more time.
talesofthecocktail.org.
Awesome. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And on the gram and on Facebook and all that good stuff.
You can find us,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool. And we're Neil, there. Once again, Cane and Table, please.
It's Cane and Table, NOLA, .com, and then Cane and Table on Instagram, Cane and Table on Facebook. The Instagram's great, actually.
The Instagram is really good.
Yeah. It is a great Instagram.
I am a follower of that
Jesse,
Instagram.
Jesse does a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, indeed. Well, thank you, you two, so much for being here. I appreciate
Thanks
you guys sharing all
us.
This wonderful stuff going on with Tales. It was a lot of fun, and God, we got to pull it all together this time. So that was really cool. Friends, we're going to take a little musical interlude here, and I'll be back with my parting shot. Come on back. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening in this week, as always, to the NOLA Drink Show. Hope you enjoyed that conversation there with Caroline and Neil from Tales the Cocktail. Always great to have those two on. Just good people. And very happy what they're doing with Tales the Cocktail these days. I think that is headed in the right direction. I know it's been a lot of work for them taking that on as they did. And it's all positive steps moving forward from here. Hey, friends, wanted to mention also next week, I touched on this at the top of the show, but we're going to be chatting with Paul Hletko, who is the founder of Few Spirits up in Evanston, Illinois, right outside of Chicago. A very fun interview coming up with that guy. So stay tuned for that one. Of course, if you're catching this here before Thursday, if you're here in the United States, happy Thanksgiving, everybody out there, and I hope you enjoy your holiday and have a good time with friends and family or however you choose to spend it. Yeah, you know, one of the things here in the interview, friends, and here we are with our parting shot, as always, I appreciated the comments that Caroline and Neil made regarding creating a sense of community and the importance of understanding community as it relates to anything in the career field in which you are, where you live, and other considerations, especially after we talk about things like certain natural disasters, wildfires in California, and not the least of which something we're quite familiar with here in New Orleans after hurricanes and tropical storm issues. You know, it's been about 13 years plus change since this community here in New Orleans was shredded by Hurricane Katrina. One of the things that we know is a lot of people helped out. A lot of our neighbors in neighboring cities took people in. We had so much support from different organizations, and different communities around the country and around the world came together to help New Orleans. And I think we know that pretty well here. And I think a lot of you listening, if you're not from the area, know that as well. One of the things that happened too is that it really kicked off a connection, or maybe in some cases, a reconnection with the city, a fascination with the culture and interest in this place. One of the key factors of that was tourism and money coming in nearly right away. It helped us rebuild the community, and this is something that we touched on in the interview with Neil and Caroline. And in their selection to take Tales on tour to Puerto Rico, I think it's a very important thing. As we know, Puerto Rico and several of their neighbors were devastated by Hurricane Maria in September of last year, 2017. Estimates were over $91 billion in damage, most of that in Puerto Rico, some estimates over $80 billion of damage on that island alone and their surrounding islands that are part of Puerto Rico, just to be clear. The third costliest hurricane on record, friends. Don't want to give short shrift to the island of Dominica. It was a class 5, the only class 5 ever recorded to hit that island and basically wipe that place out. It was a high class 4 hurricane on September 20th when it made landfall in Puerto Rico. As of the latest estimate published, which was August 28th, 18 this year, 3,057 people were killed by Hurricane Maria, and some 2,975 of those were in Puerto Rico. The power grid was effectively destroyed in Puerto Rico. 3 months after the hurricane, 45% of the population still had no power. That's 1.5 million people, folks, something we can relate to, again, here in this area. Perhaps not quite at that scale, but pretty close. By end of January 2018, approximately 450,000 people still had no power on the island. Major issues with the power grid. There were frequent and widespread blackouts. I think it's still a little bit of an issue where this continued to kind of have a ripple effect. And not to mention maybe a little bit of a corruption from questionable federal government contracts to reestablish and rebuild the grid. Of course, there were things like health issues, bacterial outbreaks, many of the deaths attributed to post-hurricane effects. Again, something else that we can relate to here in the New Orleans area. Also something relative that we understand here. The estimate is that the population drop in the island of Puerto Rico is 14%. It's a significant drop in your population. 30% of their economy there is from the medical and pharmaceutical, basically making medical devices in the pharmaceutical industry. And that industry took a beating. We also know there was a very slow response from the government. You can argue this all you want, but the federal government
was way behind in responding compared to other areas in this country experiencing similar sets of circumstances. One of the things that we also know here is that medium and long-term recovery, that's the tough part, and that still remains. There's maybe not so much as well as it should have been done in the case of Puerto Rico, but there's that rush for the initial recovery and aid and assistance and providing emergency aid. And I'm not knocking any of that because it's absolutely critical. Nothing happens without it. But then the slog, as we sometimes say on the show and have talked about other disasters that have affected our friends and neighbors in this area as well, the medium and long-term stuff's the hard part. That's when the slog basically begins, and continued support is required to make those efforts successful. We know that the economy in Puerto Rico has been tough. It was well reported before the storm that the territory's economy was in trouble. Agriculture, aside from the pharmaceutical industry and medical device industry that I mentioned, agriculture is also a significant part of their economy. Those industries are going to take a lot longer to recover. Tourism is important. Tourism can be a quick injection, if you will, of cash and benefits. And it will also directly benefit those, or does directly benefit those, that provide those tourism services, those that work in the industry, those that provide hotels, those that, you know, run restaurants, these sorts of things. So in a certain sense, it can be self-perpetuating and help sort of kickstart at least that segment of the economy that has ripple effects into other segments of the economy. We know that here in New Orleans, that tourism was significant in helping the recovery of this city. Now, we know that tourism is the number one economy in New Orleans, but in places, significant centers of Puerto Rico, in San Juan and things, tourism is also a significant part of their economy. Puerto Rico averaged 3.1 million visitors from 2010 to 2014, 3.5 million visitors in 15, 3.7 million visitors in 2016. So you see where I'm going with that, a significant rise. It was expected in 2017 to be somewhere between 8 and 10% of the GDP, even some estimates coming in at over 4 million tourists visiting the island this year, next year, and obviously that took a setback. If you look at, they basically lost the last quarter of the year in 2017. A significant blow to the island. Now, these days, most hotels are open. It's about 90%. Others that aren't are taking reservations down the road. So pretty much most of the inventory is back. The airports are good. The cruise lines are back. The beaches are safe. As Caroline mentioned in the interview, there is a vibrant, and has been, a vibrant food and drink scene in Puerto Rico. Some 4,000 restaurants are now open. As I mentioned, 90% of the hotel inventory is back. And as we're talking about here, Tales of the Cocktail will be there in April. The money helps. Okay, the money from that specific event does help. We know that the money that comes in here has been estimated for Tales of the Cocktail when it happens in New Orleans has added about $20 million in recent years each year to the local economy. And in July, it's a shot in the arm. This instance is going to provide a bit of a shot in the arm. Now, will this particular single event be transformational? No, probably not. I think Neil even mentioned that in the interview. But the more light that we shed on a place like Puerto Rico, that this event can actually help provide, just like what happened here, it helps create a ripple effect, positive vibes, good PR, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, the money helps. Not going to knock that. It's a big deal. But the vibes that are going to come from it, people going to Tales on tour and talking about it, sharing their experiences, sharing things on social media, sharing their discoveries in the food and drink scene, enjoying the beaches, enjoying the culture, meeting the people, perhaps most importantly, all of that helps provide a positive effect that helps a situation like this, a location like Puerto Rico, rebound from an event like Hurricane Maria. So I'm really proud that Tales has made this choice to hold the event there, Tales on Tour, and they're doing it for all the right reasons. So friends, just think about this maybe when you're thinking about taking your next trip, whether you go to Tales on Tour if you're into that kind of thing, or just going. Puerto Rico is open for business. They're ready to welcome you. And hey, for those of us, here's the good part. For those of us here in the U.S., you don't even need a passport. Friends, that's our parting shot. Here's to you. I'll be saying, I'll be seeing as we try.